Take your Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 55, Isaiah chapter 55. And while I'm thinking on it, which I do often, to all the men, the ladies, the teenagers that have helped with our building program, thank you. A lot of hard work, a lot of sacrifice going into it, so thank you so very much. Isaiah chapter 55, once you find Isaiah 55, find verse number 8. Isaiah chapter 55, verse number 8. Now let's stand together, if we could, for the reading of God's Word. We're going to look at two verses tonight that are going to help us with the lesson. Isaiah chapter 55, look at verse number 8. The Bible says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Tonight, I want to talk to you about this, helping people by thinking God's way. Helping people by thinking God's way. And let's pray. Father, bless us tonight. Help my mind to be strong and thorough. God, I pray that I would not hinder the truth. Now, Father, not only do I want to speak in thy power, may we hear and perceive in thy power. Help us tonight to learn to help people. God, you so love the world that you gave your Son. Helping people is an issue with you. May it be an issue with us. And Father, tonight, you know the subject. I believe you have led that this be taught. Therefore, help us, Lord, to learn to think your way so we can help people. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there, if you will. Listen to that. Those verses again. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." The Heavenly Father is looking down and reminding us his thinking is different than ours. I think I understand that. There were times in the rearing of my children, I would say, "I think we ought to do this." My kids would look at me and think, "Goodness, what are you thinking?" But Dad had been around a while, and Dad knew the best way of doing it. Listen, folks, your Heavenly Father has been around forever, and he knows the best way. But you know what you and I do? Just like my kids did. There were times when in their hearts or the expression on their face or even in their actions, when I said, "Let's go this direction," you could tell. That didn't make sense to them. That wasn't real clear to them. And I think you and I do that same thing sometimes to the Lord. In verse number 9, it says, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." God thinks at a higher level than you and I. I think if you and I want to help people, we've got to learn to think the way God thinks. To properly advise people, you've got to tell them how God thinks. He's the one that thinks the right way. You and I don't always think the right way. I think I can best illustrate this with the following story. I was counseling a pastor, and he had faced a very terrible experience in his church. Some people in his church had become disloyal, and they had attacked him, I think, unfairly. He had been hurt, and so had his church. And I'm talking about people that previously loved Jesus and loved the church and loved the pastor, but they had become bitter. And I'll tell you, always protect your heart. Well, you get angry, and then you get bitter, and before long, if you're not careful, you'll become evil, and you'll be out to hurt somebody, and that's what had happened in his situation. And he was suffering, and his family was suffering, and other loyal church members, and the church was suffering because of an incident, and the cause of Christ was suffering. And the pastor called me and asked for my help, and he said, "Brother Owens," he said, "here's my situation. I want you to talk to me." And this is what he said. This is how he worded it. He said, after he gave me this situation, he said, "Give me your thoughts about this." Well, I thought for a second. And I said, well, my brain calculated what had happened. Somebody in the church had become mean toward him and had become disloyal. And I think that church member was wrong in how they handled themselves and it was hurting him and his family and his church. And he said, give me your thoughts on this. And I said, okay, I think you ought to get in the pulpit and nail him. I said, I think you ought to use the power of your influence and the microphone and smash him. I think you could hurt their family and you could get revenge. Now let's turn the people on the church, in the church on them, and let them see how it feels. Maybe we could pray and ask God to kill him. And he said, I am shocked to hear you respond that way. I expected you to say something different. I said, well, brother, you asked me my thoughts on this thing. I said, but, and it was funny. At one point he said, I agree, I agree. And I was telling him all this. He said, I agree, I agree. And he said, well, I'm a little shocked, Brother Owens. I said, well, you had asked my thoughts on it. I said, but that's not what I think you ought to do. I said, I don't think you ought to do what I think you ought to do. And I don't think you ought to do what you think you ought to do. I said, I think you ought to do what the Bible would teach you to do. I said, when you ask for my thoughts, I gave them to you, but there's something more to this. You need God's thoughts. And in a moment, we may need help in the hallway, so I need an usher right there at that door to help me with it. And everybody else, you can look right this way. Well, and I told him, I said, Matthew chapter 5, verse number 44 teaches us to love our enemies. And I heard him groan. Luke chapter 6, verse 27 says that we ought to pray for them that despitefully use us. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 30 tells us that vengeance belongeth to me, saith the Lord. And I told him, I said, sir, I may have the same kind of thoughts that you would have in a situation like you find yourself. I said, but you and I both have to remember something. Our thoughts are not what's important. It's God's thoughts that are important. And Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Folks, you and I will never help people the way we're to help people if we want to do things our way. You and I will never help people the way we're supposed to help people if it's our thoughts, our wishes, our feelings that guide us. We've got to learn to think the way God thinks. People who think like Jesus help more people. People who think like God help more people. People who think like the Bible help more people. People who think like the Holy Spirit help more people. We are to think the way God thinks. Tonight, the lesson is called Helping People by Thinking God's Way. For instance, I think you and I need to think the way God thinks in regard to suffering. Suffering. You could help a lot of people if you could learn to think the way God thinks about suffering. Romans chapter 8, verse 18 tells us how God thinks. He says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. That verse does not make suffering a bad thing. That verse says God gets a lot of good things, and we get a lot of good things out of our suffering. Our thought is this. Our thought is that we always have plenty of everything. Our thought is it is best to have an abundance of leisure time. Our thought is a 30-hour work week is better than a 40-hour work week. Our thought is having two cars is far better than one, and having a two-car garage is far better than a one-car garage, and having a fantastic house attached to the two-car garage to house our two cars is a wonderful thing. Our thought is having too much food for the table. Our thought is to have more time to play. Our thought is bigger closets and more clothes. I didn't say bigger clothes. Our thought is let's have an easy life. Our thought is more comfort and less difficulty. Our thought is no burdens and no heartaches. But just so you all know, that's not exactly how God thinks. We think one way. God thinks another way. God said, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." You see, God in his wisdom knew that man, he caused himself trouble when he has too much idle time. You know, you say, "I just wish I had a ton of time off." You know, people get in trouble with a ton of time off. You say, "Oh, this busyness." Busyness, you get in less trouble by being busy than you get in trouble by being idle. But we don't think the way God thinks. So God's telling us that work is better than play. God's telling us responsibility is better than irresponsibility. God's telling us giving is better than receiving. When I look back in my life, I see times when what seemed was a valley and may destroy me actually ended up making me, strengthening me, and helping me. We just don't see things the way God sees it sometimes. You and I have got to learn to think the way God thinks. When it comes to suffering, did you hear the verse in Romans 8:18? "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." God is telling us, folks, the suffering does something for us. It helps us. It helps the cause of Christ. I think somehow our sufferings can glorify God. When we say, "I don't want any suffering," okay, but it's going to be there because God, for some reason, sees it as a help to us. A man by the name of Dr. Max Helton had four daughters. One of them was very, very ill. She had a terrible, terrible heart condition. The Heltons, at that time, were missionaries in the West Indies. Leah, which was the daughter that had the health condition, she asked, "Why are all the other boys and girls healthy, and why do they get to go out and play?" Her heart was broken because she was sick. That missionary had to move himself from the West Indies to Honolulu, Hawaii. And that's because in Honolulu, Hawaii, the exact medical treatment that Leah needed was available. Well, there was not a church there. Hundreds of thousands of people in Honolulu, but there was not a gospel-preaching church. One day, little Leah asked her dad, said, "Daddy, why in the world did we move to Honolulu, Hawaii? Daddy, why do I have a sick heart?" And he turned and said to his daughter, "Honey, you probably had a sick heart because God would move us to Honolulu to start a church to see all these people saved, and there would be no church in Honolulu had it not been for your heart condition." And the little girl said, "I guess it's worth it then." Now, you don't know that your heartache is doing something. And you might not see everything that God is doing through your heartache. But God is working through your heartache. Now, that girl had an actual heart condition. And boy, what a wise dad to be able to explain it the way he did. But greater than the dad was the response of the daughter. Now listen, folks, we don't see heartache the same way God does. Let me ask you a question. Does God love you, yes or no? Does God love you, yes or no? Okay, if God loves you, then what God does, he does in love. If you have a heartache, I guess God did that in love. God allowed it in love. Now, you be careful. God's not trying to destroy you. God's trying to make you. And if you face a heartache, that heartache, God can get good out of it. You and I have got to learn to think the way God thinks. When I go to the hospital and someone's had a rough time, and maybe they're not so much churchgoers, and I'm talking to them, and they ask me, I can get asked some pretty powerful questions by people that are going through struggles in this life. Well, if God loves me, why would He allow this? If you don't know how to answer questions like that, you're going to have a difficult time helping people. But you have to learn to think the way God thinks, and God is not trying to do something to them. God is trying to do something for them. I was dealing with someone. They were unsaved. They had gone through a tragedy. They'd been in a terrible car accident. They were in the hospital, and they had casts on arms and legs, and they were all beat up and stitched up. And I'm talking to them, and they can hardly talk to me as I'm speaking to them. And I introduced them myself, and they knew who I was. I began to talk to them, and they asked the question. They said, if God loves me, why am I in this condition? I said, I'll answer that question in just a moment. And then I asked this. I said, let me ask you a question. If you died today, do you know for a fact you'd go to heaven? He said, no, I don't know that. I said, had you died in that accident, would have you gone to heaven? I don't think so. I took my Bible and I showed them, number one, that everyone's a sinner, and number two, that there's a penalty for sin, and number three, that Jesus paid that penalty with His death, His burial, and His resurrection. I showed them, number four, that if they would ask Jesus to come into their heart and save them, forgive them of their sin, that He'd come into their heart and save them. I said, would you like to get saved? And they prayed and asked Jesus to come into their heart, and then I said, by the way, I want to answer your question for you. You asked why a tragedy like that would be allowed in your life. Now I'll answer you, because your tragedy brought me to your hospital bed to show you how to go to heaven when you die. And the person said, this hurts, but now I'm going to heaven. I guess it was worth it. Now folks, everybody here, whether you want to believe your pastor or not, when you get to heaven, you're going to look at your burdens that you face down here and you're going to say, I guess it was worth it. Now, you might not be mature enough right now to say it, but when you get to heaven, you're going to say, I guess it was worth it. I guess it was worth it. Think. Hey, you say, Brother Owens, I don't know why I'm not well. I might not either. But God does. Mrs. Nofsinger, I don't know why you go through what you go through. Well, some of it's because of George, but I'm not talking about the headaches and the backaches and all that he's a pain in the neck. But I don't know why you go through some of what you go through, but God does. God does. Hey, listen, folks, you and I, if we're going to help people, we've got to learn to think the way God thinks. And the way God thinks is when burdens and heartaches come, that's not a mean, nasty God. There's a loving God, and God somehow, in His economy of life, allows things like that to come. Brother Owens, I don't know why I face these problems, but God does. God does. You know, folks, I think we are better off having difficulties and being forced to depend on God than to have a burdenless life that does not require a dependence on God. You know, when we face struggles, it makes us depend on God. If you didn't have any struggles, I'm not real sure that you would depend on God. So I then would rather be close to God and have a few things that requires me in my life to stay close to God than to have no burdens, but really have no relationship with God. Can I tell you all something? When you're going through the hardest times, if you have any sense, that's when you'll get the closest to the Lord. When you're going, I can't do it. Nah, that's when you're humbled out enough where you say, God, help me. You know how much God enjoys it when you're melted down? You know when you have the meltdown and you go, help me, God. God's saying, I am so glad to see you remember you need me. And some of you, if you'll remember, those can be some of the sweetest times in your life. Don't run from the clouds. They'll bring rain that will cause things to grow. Don't run from the burdens. Don't run from the heartaches. People want to escape. Listen, I don't want anybody to suffer, but we're all going to. But think of it the way God thinks of it. We say, God, please don't let me suffer. And He says, it is better sometimes that you do. Trust God. Think the way God thinks. So, if you and I are going to help people, we've got to think the way God thinks when it comes to suffering and heartaches and burdens. And one reason I tell you that is because, folks, as you and I are going out and trying to help people, we're trying to reach people, some of the people that you can help the most are the people that are going through hardship. People are going through burdens. People are going through tough times. And you reach out and you try to help them, but you got to think the way God thinks. If you don't think the way God thinks and somebody's going through a tough time, you're just going to throw your bitter attitude right in with it. Yeah, I'm sick of that sort of stuff too. Yeah, I hate my husband too. Yeah, I hate my wife too. Yeah, I hate my boss too. And let's go get drunk. Yeah, well, what good did you do? You're acting just like them. The world needs somebody that has the light of Jesus in their mind to where they think a heavenly thought. And God said, you don't think the way I think, but if you will, you can help a lot of people. You can help a lot of people. Number two, not only do I think we need to learn to think the way God thinks in regard to suffering, but think the way God thinks in regard to salvation. Now, this is a given. 95% of you will say, oh, you don't even need to teach this, but I want to teach it. I thought I want to remind you of something. We've got to think the way that God thinks in regard to salvation. Isaiah 64:6 says, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Now, let me tell you, lost man's thoughts about getting to heaven. They say, okay, heaven's a wonderful place. It should not be free. That's what lost man thinks. If heaven is a wonderful place, then it should not be free. Men of character may have a hard time getting saved because they want to pay their way. What's man's thoughts? Heaven should be earned. Now, you understand that the masses in the world think that heaven should be earned. That's their thinking. We ought to work to get it. You know how many people out there depending on their works to get them to heaven? And they feel very justified in it because that's man's basic thought about heaven. Most of you before the gospel was presented to you purely, the right gospel. If somebody would have said to you, you're going to heaven, you'd say, I'm pretty good. I do some good deeds. I figure I'm good enough. That's the way man thinks. We should maybe pay our money to get into heaven. That's how man thinks. We should have to live a holy life or a spiritual life or a flawless life to get to heaven. I think you ought to be a churchgoer if you're going to go to heaven. I think you ought to be a patient person if you're going to go to heaven. I don't think you ought to cuss if you're going to go to heaven. You should never use God's name in vain if you want to go to heaven. You should never think a lustful thought. You know something? I'm for all of those things, but man says, if heaven is a wonderful place, it ought to be paid for, and it ought to cost me something. Now, God's thoughts, and Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6 says, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. God said, I don't care how good you are, you can't pay for heaven. And that didn't say all of our sins are as filthy rags. Did you hear the verse? All our righteousnesses. The best, the best, the best, the best, the best that you and I could do couldn't earn us heaven. The best one does is not enough. The best way, hey, I don't care if you are a multi-billionaire and you gave all your money to the church, that won't get you to heaven. I don't care if you fed every poor person on the face of the earth, that will not get you to heaven. I don't care if you live sacrificially 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. That will not get you to heaven. If you do good deeds, if you help every little old lady in the universe across the street, that will not get you to heaven. Why? Because the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of work, lest any man should boast. The world thinks you gotta do something to get it. God said Jesus did the something. You just have to trust Him for your salvation. And folks, You and I have got to think the way God thinks. We've got to do that. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, I read it to you a moment ago. That's the one that says, for by grace are you saved. Titus chapter 3, verse 5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Acts chapter 16, verse 31 says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. The world thinks they've got to do something to get saved. They have to earn it. They have to pay for it. They have to go do a bunch of things. But Jesus said he did what needed to be done. They just put their faith in him. And folks, if we will think the way God thinks about salvation, boy, can we help people. Now, let me warn you of something. If you're not careful, you will work into the devil's plan on this. You say, how? The devil likes it that those people think they have to work their way to heaven. We believe in separation from the world around here. I'll warn you, when you're dealing with a lost person, if you're preaching separation to them, they needed the gospel. They needed Jesus Christ. They needed salvation. You know how many people will look at a church like ours? We believe in separation from the world. They look at our church and they say, ha, I could never go out there and be a part of that. Did you know that they could come here and get saved? And it's very simple and it's very easy. And it costs Jesus. All that's going to cost them is their faith that needs to be invested in Christ. But be careful that you're not preaching separation to somebody that's not even saved. We get them saved, then we'll help them to clean up their life thereafter. But salvation is a free gift. You and I have to think the way God thinks. I don't believe God wants us to go to all the lost and say, you need to stop doing this and stop doing that, stop doing this and stop doing that. What they need to do is stop trusting anything but Jesus for heaven and get saved. That's what they need to do. You will not change them on the outside till you get Jesus on the inside. And if you preach the outside religion to them when they don't have Jesus on the inside, you're just adding to their misconception of what salvation's all about. Okay, so we help people by thinking God's way. We go into the community and we help people because we think about heartaches and suffering the way God does. We help people in the community by thinking about salvation the way that God does. Let me add a little now on top of the teaching on salvation. We can help people if we think God's way concerning the security of the believer. Concerning the security of the believer. John chapter 10, verse 28 says, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. God said, when I save you, I put you in my hand, and nobody can take you out of my hand. Now, we've got to be careful. You and I must think the way God thinks about the security we have with our salvation in Jesus Christ. Man's thoughts on security. Surely, we have to hold on faithful to the end to get into heaven. That's man's thinking. Now, how many people you hear say, I'm trying to be faithful so I can go to heaven. Well, are you saved? Yeah, but I'm trying to hang on. If you're saved, you're going to heaven. They'll say, surely, if I sin, God will take my salvation away from me. Do you realize how many people you'll meet out there and they say, well, I used to be saved, but I'm not anymore. That's the world's thinking. That's man's thinking. That's not God's thinking. That's not how God does it. Surely if I hurt him with my behavior, he will take my salvation away. Your problem is you ran into way too many Indian givers in grade school. And you think that God is an Indian giver. Surely I must do something to keep myself saved. That's man's thinking. Surely I must do something to stay a part of God's family. Now, God's thoughts are this. Listen. And I give unto them eternal life. Eternal life. I gave it to them. Didn't say they earned it. I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand or out of my hand. That's John 10:28. See, man, quickly, if they're not taught that once they get saved, they're saved forever. Their thinking is immediately, okay, I'm saved, but if I mess it up next week, I lost it. That's not God's thinking. Hebrews 13:5, he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Do you know how long never is? Never in the Greek means never. 1 John 5:13, he says that we can know that we have eternal life. Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not might be, not could be, not there's a possibility of it. So, if we're going to help people, we'll need to help them to understand the way God thinks. Because people naturally think, I get saved, but I got to do something to keep it, or I'm going to lose it, or I messed it up. One of the reasons God gave it to us as a gift and did it the way he did it, because if it were dependent on us, we would have messed it up. And he said, I don't want it messed up. Now, he said, now you go ahead and live your life for me the best you can, and we booger that up every day of our life. He said, I'm going to do one thing, and it's going to be done right, and it's going to be done, it's going to have a finality to it. I'll save you. I'll keep you. Now, go out there and try to live right, but I know what you're going to do with that, but I'm not going to let you mess up the salvation part. So if you, by faith, ask Jesus to come into your heart and save you, he does, and some call it eternal security. Some call it the security of the believer. Some call it once saved, always saved, but that's God's thinking. But man does not naturally think that way. So if you and I are going to help people, we help people by getting the right attitude and thinking God's way about the sufferings of life, even by way of your example. Secondly, if you and I want to help people, we've got to think the way God thinks about salvation, not the way man thinks. The way man thinks will send man to hell. Then, if you and I want to help people that are coming to our church, we have to think and talk and deliver to people the way God thinks about salvation and the security that we have in Christ. Now, for all of you, you say, well, Pastor, boy, we already know all this. Okay, that's fine. We're trying to help people. What I'm trying to say is, hey, a bunch of people out there that need help. This is what we're going to do to go help people. I know you know this. It doesn't hurt to touch the reset button every once in a while. But now, let me give you another thing. We're almost done. I think you and I, if we want to help people, we need to think God's way concerning promotion. Being exalted. I'll tell you what's hard about this. In the world in which you and I live, if you're out there in the secular arena, they require you to sell yourself. There's a little bit different attitude with God in the church. And I know this is hard. This is really hard for people. But think, learn to think God's way concerning promotion. Mark chapter 8, verse number 34, Jesus said, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself. Deny himself? Now, here's our thoughts on self-exaltation. Our thoughts are, push myself up into the eyes of others. Our thoughts are, we should fight so people will notice us. I will fight to get attention. Our thoughts are, that if I don't take care of me, who else will? Our thoughts are, to strive for the limelight. Let everybody know how good I am. Let everybody see how wonderful I am. Our thoughts are, I've got to get credit. Now, just so you know, in the church, that's not God's thoughts. Say, what's God's thoughts? It's called humility. Now, I'm going to tell you, out there in the world, you better fight, scratch, and kick. But then you got to change gears when you come to church. And you need to know how your pastor thinks. Hey, I'm good for you to go out there in the world and sell your product, sell yourself. But when you come to the church, we sell Jesus around here. We sell biblical concept around here, which is the total opposite of how the world thinks. In the church, what is it? It's a thing called humility. James chapter 4, verse number 10 says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Nowhere does it say in God's work that we're to lift ourselves up. This will sound silly. In the church, in God's work, the way up is down. You say, I want to move up! And get on your knees. Humble yourself. Mark 8:34, the Bible says, deny yourself. Proverbs 27:2 says, let another man praise thee and not thine own mouth. Proverbs 16:19 says, better it is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Gideon, you want to know where we found Gideon? Gideon was behind a plow, hiding when God called him from that humble start to becoming a champion for the cause of Christ. John the Baptist said this, speaking of Jesus in John 1:27, whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. In God's kingdom and in God's work, the way up is down. Now, maybe if your pastor were put together different, maybe there'd be a different way. But so you know how your pastor's put together? I'm not looking for cocky, arrogant, know-it-all, push-myself people. You know what I'm looking for? Humble servants of God. They make the best leaders. So the goal is not to move up. The goal is just to serve. God knows how to find that leadership in people if he needs it. But you and I, if we want to help people, we have to understand self-exaltation is never promoted among Christians and in the realm of Christian work. It's just not done that way. And I know that's hard. I've looked at it so many times. I've coached so many people through secular jobs and corporate executives and successful people, and they say, it's a dog-eat-dog world out here. I say, man, you go out there and you sell yourself and you work hard and you have to work in that arena. But I will tell you this, when it comes to the work of Jesus Christ, it's not a me thing. It's an others, 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 others. Matter of fact, one of the most admirable traits that you could find in a leader is one that would just let someone else lead and they would just follow when they had the ability to lead. I think God is looking for people just like that, because they're, for some reason, he then gets the credit. And that who's supposed to get the credit is God supposed to get the credit. I'm going to repeat myself and I've got one brief point and we're done. I said, the way we can help people is by thinking God's way. Number one, think God's way concerning our suffering. Number two, we've got to think God's way concerning salvation, or people are going to die and go to hell. Number three, once they get saved, we've got to think God's way and help them to think God's way about the security of our salvation. Number four, we've got to learn to think God's way about this thing of self-exaltation or promotion. Basically, that's a point about humility and getting pride out of our life. In the world, they almost promote pride. In the church, it's one of the most dangerous things. But remember the opening scripture from Isaiah? God's ways are not our ways. God's thoughts are not our thoughts. Let me give you a summary. It's about helping people God's way. These areas and many others, we've got to learn to think God's way. For instance, when you give your opinion, you're hurting, not helping. Somebody says, what's your opinion? What you ought to do is say, well, my opinion really doesn't matter. I could give you God's opinion. When you tell them the way you see it, and that's one of the things I hear most, well, Pastor, the way I see it, and I'm thinking, yeah, that's our problem here, is the way you see it. The way I see it, it's not all about the way you see it. You say, well, what's it all about? The way he sees it. Well, let me tell you how I feel about it. Okay. That in, hate to tell you this, but it doesn't matter. It's how does he feel about it? When you tell them what you think, you are shortchanging them. There are people that would say to me, let me tell you how I feel about it, how I think about it, the way I see it. And a part of me says, yeah, I feel about it, I think about it, and I feel the very same way you do. And they'll say, okay, what do you want to do? You can't do that. Well, what's wrong with you? Well, I'm human too, and I can see why your emotions are involved and how you feel that way and why you're thinking that way and why you might want to go that direction, but you got to do what the Bible says to do. I'm not to try to tell you my opinion. Now, we're all going to have opinions, and I think there are spiritual opinions, but just so you all know, bottom line, the safest thing in the world is not what you think. It's what God thinks. And you'll help more people if you think God's way. So guard yourself. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Helping people. That's our goal. Tonight, I've applied this thing of helping people into three or four areas. But boy, I'm talking about every area of life. Here's how I feel about this entertainment or that entertainment. You know what? I might feel the same way. My flesh might want this entertainment or that entertainment. But what does God think about it? Say, well, this is what I think about that clothing or that thing right here, right there. You know what? It doesn't matter what you and I think about it. It really matters what does God think about it. And that's how you help people most. What does God think about it? Thinking God's way. If you're here tonight, you've never been saved, we welcome you to the Savior. I hope you'll ask Jesus to save you. You come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Is there anyone here tonight that would say, preacher, if I died tonight, I don't know for a fact I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. I don't know I'm saved, but pray for me. Would you please? If you'll raise your hand, I will pray for you. I won't come to you. I won't embarrass you. Then, Christian, has God spoken to your heart tonight? Do you need to think God's way a little more? Oh, we were pretty opinionated. Oh, there are even people that maneuver themselves through the Scripture, trying to twist out of it what they want. I'm going to tell you, you better think God's way. You better think God's way. You manipulators, you need to stop manipulating and let the Scripture guide your life, and you'll help people that way. Who here tonight would say, Pastor, for no doubt, tucked in the sermon tonight was something that's going to help me. I need to adjust my thinking so I can help more people, and God has spoken to my heart. Would you raise your hand and let God see it? God bless you. You may put those hands down. The pianist is going to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Do you need a moment at the altar? Do you need to come and say, God, I need to work on my thinking a little more. I want to help more people. I realize to help more people, I have to think your way. I've got to give them your thoughts, not my thoughts. I've got to give them your opinion, not just my opinion. Romans 8:18 said, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." God was saying, you got to learn to think about your heartaches the way I see them. You say it's a very big heartache. Probably there was something very big that God wanted to get out of it. Now, is he getting that? Or is he just getting bitterness? Is he getting hatred? Is he getting depression out of it? Well, that was never the plan. You missed it. You wasted the burden. God had something big that somebody could get out of it. Are they? Positives coming? Or is it just a negative? The devil causes that negative result. As we continue with the verse, I'll remind you, the Bible said that His ways are not ours, His thoughts are not our thoughts.